it's our... It's
game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Oh, it's on like Donkey Kong, is what
it's
I said.
On like Donkey Kong, and that's when we start right there. It's on like Donkey Kong. Welcome back to the Gamers Haven podcast. It's me, Ethan. Hi, how you doing? You know, this is a rather intimate setting we have here today.
With the nice crickets chirping in the background. It is yes, a nice, yes. Cool evening.
Jeremy has lit some candles. He's wearing a smoking jacket. Where'd you get the wingback chair, Jeremy?
Stole it.
Sweet.
It is a nice, cool evening, October 1st.
Steal one for us?
No.
Damn.
I can only carry one at a time.
Yes, it is October 1st. We are edging closer and closer to the first annual Gamers Haven Halloween party.
We've had two people contact to put in reservation. We have one request to run a game, run Dread. So,
sweet.
The other person who sent me the request, I've got to find the email so I can contact him back. So far, the one who wants to run a game, I'm not naming names because I can't remember names. If I remembered names, I would...
The Dread one? Yeah, I know who wants to run the Dread.
Yeah. She's RSVP'd for herself and four guests. As of right now, that's okay. I will warn anybody who's listening to the podcast that's thinking about coming. It's a first-come, first-served basis. We've only got so much space, so when we start to run out of space... we may have to start asking people to cut back on their RSVPs so that we can get the people who want to come to come. By the way, my brother RSVP'd last night. He's going to be here. He's gonna come and he's going to play Realms of Cthulhu.
Nice.
So, yeah, I thought that was pretty kick-ass.
Nice. I'm assuming that Jeremy and I don't have to RSVP. I know.
Well, it's expected that you guys will be here at least for 10 minutes.
Well, yeah.
It's
I might be here for 11.
Time. 10 minutes?
At least.
Hey, after all the work I'm putting into my Halloween costume, I'm going to be here. Yeah.
I told you what I wanted to be, didn't I?
Dexter from Dexter, because you already look like him. You're all creepy and you got blood on you.
Yeah.
Did you kill another hooker today?
Man.
No. No, but I did have to pick up the pieces of a mouse Monday that Boris ripped apart.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I have a pretty tough stomach against gore, but that was nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And it smelled terrible.
Well, let's see, the Halloween party's in, what, like 3 weeks now?
October 23rd. It's 4 weeks away, I think.
No, 3 weeks. 23rd?
Yeah.
That would be 3 weeks from tomorrow. 3 weeks from tomorrow or something.
Oh, yeah. No, 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
4 weeks from tomorrow.
I guess so.
So the 23rd, there's 5 weeks in this October. Hey, cool.
All righty. Well.
It's the Halloween party is the week after my finals, so I'll be probably very relaxed after.
Much happier. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well... what are we doing today? We are continuing on the cooperative world building from Dawn of Worlds, from those fine folks that we got it from. But gosh, I can't remember the name now. It's up on the website. But I suppose I should actually load that up if I can find it. Dawn of Worlds. Dawn of Worlds. We like Dawn of Worlds. Yay! Maybe. All right. But yes, today we are continuing our cooperative world building that we started with Dawn of Worlds in the last episode. So we will be back starting that back up right here after this.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. Huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
And we are back, and today on the Gamers Haven, we are taking on part two of our cooperative world building with the Dawn of Worlds, which you can find on our website. As soon as we're all done, we'll upload obviously more pictures and some of the document we're keeping track of. But as of right now, the first part of this episode is available on the website, gamershavenpodcast.com, both in a regular MP3 format and as a video MP4 using images, the image slideshow function, so you can actually see the pictures that we are taking as we are going. So, for those of you who came in late and don't know what we're talking about, we are using the Dawn of Worlds. I keep wanting to say Dawn of War. We're using this Dawn of Worlds cooperative world building system that is available for free online. And we are essentially going to figure out, basically build this world. So it should be pretty sweet, we hope. When we ended last time, we ended right after doing turn 10, where Jeremy created a swamp, hills, and forests, and Nathan created some swamps and the good race of man, and I advanced the Hawkmen of Darkwater, which I've now decided are actually Buzzardmen of Darkwater. Advance the Buzzard Men of Darkwater race one step more evil, or I advance them in technology, and they're like super evil and created vile rivers of Blackwater near their domain. So,
I think they're death magic mages now. I think you gave them death magic.
I think we did. We're gonna need. we have lovely dice again, and we you know. Might figure that we get how many dice do we need each?
Two.
Dos.
These are crap dice.
Shut up. This is the dice you get because Nathan isn't in here. Alrighty. I believe Jeremy, last turn you saved 1 point according to what I've got down here. So you have 1 point and it's you. What do you go? What are you doing this turn?
Well, I'm rolling my dice.
Ah, dice.
7 plus 3. Because we're still.
Right, still in the first age, so and if you have
less than five.
Less than five, you get an extra 3 points when you roll. Right.
Well, because it when the age starts, it's the first round. It's plus one.
Then the second
plus
round,
two. Plus three, and then it maxes out.
At plus three.
So
okay.
That's 7. So 11 points. I have 11 points in the first age.
Ooh.
And I have.
And I have a mighty 10.
Like tadpole people.
I have mighty 13 points then.
I got 5.
I got a 5!
Plus whatever I had, which I think is like 2 points.
Nathan, according to this, last turn you spent all 25 of your points.
Yeah. So I've got 8 points.
Jeremy, and you have, of course, your... How many did you roll? We got 4, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I have
11,
11 altogether.
Okay. Alrighty, what are you doing with your 11 points, Jeremy?
Let's see.
Alright, what am I going to do? Look at the map. Let's see. We need lots of terrain, don't we? Yes. I have how many points? 13. Alright, Jeremy.
Yes, I'm pondering. All right, so.
Alrighty. What are you going to do?
Shush! Still deciding?
Okay, do you want me to go ahead and decide? Because we are,
on a time limit.
This is, you know, do. We are recording. Come on. Ooh, dead air. We love it.
Dead air.
Right, I'm just gonna...
I'm creating an avatar.
Okay.
Whoa. An avatar of Jeremy.
How many points is that?
10.
10, so you have 1 point.
So
creates an avatar of himself.
Well, whatever. I got you. Self.
Whatever.
I don't know what I can do with my avatar now.
That's fine. I'm going to be shaping 4 inches, doing 4 inches of land shaping. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh, let's see what we got here.
By the way, my avatar
has
appeared in the Tadlock village, and this particular avatar is a giant toad.
Okay, then.
Magical toad. That's a toad, nonetheless.
Does he eat people?
No.
What do we need? I was the god of...
You're the god of lakes.
I'm the god of lakes and evil.
Yeah, but you can do whatever you want.
Alrighty. We'll go ahead and... we need to add... Let's see. Oh, gosh. We need some lush jungles, don't we?
Did you put down
we'll need the ruler at some point, I'm sure. But
I have a metal ruler over there.
Alrighty.
Jeremy found it. I figured it was a little bit better than that floppy plastic one.
Hey, I like that floppy plastic one. It does what it's supposed to do.
And it's bendy. How do we differentiate between the jungles and the forest? Because that's a forest, and that's jungle.
Just put jungle on it.
I'm making a huge jungle here. I think that's about 4 inches, roughly.
No, it's not. You have a lot more than that.
Alrighty, fine. That's 4 inches, huh?
Well, it might be 4 inches this way, but it's only 2 inches that way. You have an extra 2 inches of it you can go out. So make it come down around the length and stuff. There you go. That's, like, 2 inches. And make it a butt up to the river.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Alright, so there's this big jungle on this side of the lake and the river on the east side.
Oh, I didn't actually have to create an avatar. Yeah. There's something in here that says for instead of commanding race, by this power you basically command your race to do something.
Uh-huh.
The creator of the race gets
right.
This set automatically. Basically, there's a religious order in there, so you can spend points.
Have a religious order in my evil race
right.
Of buzzard men?
Really, they're just shamans and things, but basically you can spend the points to order them to do something.
Ah.
So,
well,
except
one point.
In my case, I just decided I needed a giant toad avatar. And he's going to lord over the Tadlocks.
Excellent. Nathan, you have 8 points. What are you doing?
I'm going to...
And his name's Fillmore.
I'm going to do 2 inches of forest building on the Isle of Man.
Fillmore.
Avatar himself named Fillmore.
Giant toad.
F-I-L-M-O-R-E?
Sure. He's an avatar. It can be named. It could be spelled with X's.
There. Right. The X's are silent.
Right.
Fillmore, and there's an X on the end.
Yeah, and he's a giant toad.
There. So I put 2 inches.
The nice thing is, if an avatar is destroyed...
So you're putting 2 inches of forest?
Yeah, roughly.
So that's -6.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to save the other 2 points. So now we've got swamp, we've got forest, we've got mountains, we've got water on the Isle of Man.
All right. It's like, Jeremy and I have each saved 1 point. Nathan, you have saved 2. We're on to turn 12.
All right. 8.
So you got, what?
10, 11, 12.
Jeremy starts with 12 points. I am starting with 11 points. And Nathan, how many are you going with?
Good question. 6 points.
That includes your +2, or
no? That I rolled a 6.
So you rolled a 6
roll
plus 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So you have 11 points.
I get
a +3 because
the +2, so 5
right.
+6 is okay.
I'm looking going. Wait a minute, how did I get that?
My I'm using my 10 points, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me check. I think it's 10 points. Come on, go up. But you do have to command your avatar to do things. I'm commanding my race.
Now, when we create a race
in
the first age, does it start off in, like, the Stone Age?
Yeah, that's basically they run around with sticks and punch each other.
Chuka.
His people are a little bit more advanced because they have death magic. So, and they're vile enough that they eat babies.
Oh, babies. They're not that bad yet.
I don't know. You spent, what, two, three on them? Okay.
He will land them twice.
I am ordering my tablocks to create a great wall of protection.
Okay, you're doing what?
I'm using the command race,
which I believe is 10 points.
Right. Commanding the tadlocks to build...
Oh, no. Command race is only 8. Right, so I will spend the 8.
You're commanding the tadlocks to build a wall?
A great wall around their civilization.
Great wall around their civilization. And that's minus 8. So that leaves you with 4 points, Jeremy. Are you done, or do you have more? Are you saving those 4 points?
I have 4 points left, and I will command... What can I do with command avatar? I know I can move them around, but I don't want to just, like, dance or something. Command avatar. One of the following immortal or mini mortal actions in a turn...
Oh, let's see. Command city, create create order. Command order, create city. Corrupt or purify city, create race once. Gather an army. Through the use of an avatar, players may, for example, raise 2 armies in a turn from the same city or execute 2 commands upon a race.
The great toad avatar Fillmore has informed the Tadlocks that they must build... a city.
Alrighty.
And I believe that's 2.
Which,
Command Avatar.
Command Avatar is 2 points, yes.
So, now, in addition to the Great Wall... There's a city. It's the city of... Well, we haven't created writing yet, so...
Yes, it's the city of... Alright.
I have to save my 2 points.
I spend... You have to spend how many to create an avatar?
10.
I am going to go ahead and create an avatar for the lovely buzzard man, the buzzard man of Darkwater over there. They're buzzard men. And the avatar is in the is in the form of a giant pillar of black fire that speaks to them like the MCP.
Is it a pillar of black fire on a burning bush?
No, but it speaks like the MCP.
End of line.
And then I'm going to save my 1 point. Nathan, you got 11 points. Go for it.
I'm going to create an avatar. I'll join in the fray. I'm going to create an avatar for the race of man, and it's going to be a giant human. A guy.
It's better than what I
created. Well, God created the race in the image of himself, so...
Avatar for man of a man. Of a giant man. Minus 10.
Oh, crap. He doesn't wear pants.
No! Pants are required.
Make sure you type that.
Giant man. Pants are required. Pants are required.
Well, that could start the first, like...
Holy war?
He's not wearing pants! Oh, God! The horror!
And then you... Commanded Avatar. Minus 2. Leaving you with 2 points. Jeremy, we're at turn 13. Next, I get a mighty 6, 7, ooh, 8, 9, 10. Jeremy, how many points you got now?
3, 6, 8 with my ones from the 4.
I had 1 point left over, plus 3, which is 4, plus 11 is 15.
All right, Nathan jumps into the lead with lots of points. Jeremy, what are you doing this turn with your 8 points? I should figure out what I'm doing with my 10.
With my 8 points, I am going to advance. Do I want to do that? Do I want to advance the city? Yes, I will advance the city. Woohoo! We're no longer in the Stone Age! This is like civilization! How many points was advancing the city? All 8?
Advancing a city? To advance a city is 8 points, yes.
Alright, so I'll burn off my city, my points, and they are going to be. They actually have learned, and they are the specialized in water magic.
Now, is that you're advancing a city, not the race?
Well,
and how does that work?
This, well, basically,
expert knowledge of a given science or magic.
Yeah, basically, it. As long as the city persists, it's basically at that place.
Okay.
Anybody created from that place, it's a great place of learning.
Ah, okay.
But if you just have like villages, that's the thing. So. Like, if I want them all to be advanced, but this is a... They are masters of the element of water. So we have death magic, and we have water magic.
All right.
And that burns off all my points. And I will have my avatar dance, because that doesn't cost any points.
Oh, let's see. All right, so that, you are...
I suddenly have images of black and white in my head.
I never, they didn't have a giant toad.
Oh, no.
That was awesome.
Did you ever play the second
you
one?
8 points to do that. Okay.
I like the music, but the game itself...
4, 6, I need something to do for 4 points, roughly. Let's see. Once per target, per turn. So can you can command your avatar.
Right.
Let's see. Command.
They can do one immortal action per turn, or they can do basically as many points as you have to... Well, it says...
Well, how do you know what is an immortal action and what
isn't? It gives you a list. Because it says on command avatar, an avatar can perform one of the following immortal or many mortal actions, such as leading an army, in a turn when commanded. Immortal actions include command city, create order, create city, corrupt or purify city, create race.
Okay.
But that's only once. Gather an army. Now, but they could do like, I'm going to lead this army.
Okay. Okay. Well, in true fashion, 4, 6, I'm going to go ahead. I'll be saving 4 points this turn. I'm going to command my avatar to build a great city in of the Buzzard People. Creating the great city of the Buzzard People, amongst the Hawk People's aviary of doom. There is a great city.
You'll notice that the flying folk change from Hawk, Vulture, and Buzzard throughout the conversation.
Yeah. I have created a great city of buzzard men. All right, and then I spend 2 points to corrupt the city of the Tadlocks.
Let's see, corrupt city of perfect command. Well, you can perform one immortal action, and his immortal action was...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because he's focusing all of his powers on it. But he could also create one race, but only once. That's a... He's...
Didn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's gone. Just
I see. Okay.
I'll show you.
No, give me the next turn. And I'll go ahead and just... Let's see. Alright, I guess we can't do that.
And we may want to, for technology levels, basically just put like a number next to the races. Because everybody's at technology level 0 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure how they built the city, but...
Out of mud bricks and stone?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm just going to save that those points. Nathan, you're up.
Built out of twigs.
I'm going to use 10 points to advance the civilization of man to make them experts of horseback riding.
All right, so you are advancing the civilization to give them horseback riding for 10 points, and now you have 5 points remaining. Are you doing anything with those 5 points?
I'm going to spend 3 points and create an inch of planes down here.
Creates 1 inch of planes, minus 3 points, leaving with 2. Are you saving those?
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Alright. We are to turn 14.
I like how we're all in the first stage.
Let's see. I have a hell of a lot of points now. Alright. Jeremy, how many points you got? You have 9 together. 9 altogether. Nathan.
I've got 6 plus 5, 11.
All right, Jeremy, you have 9 points. What are you doing? I have a hell of a lot of points. I don't know. I need to know what I'm going to do. Okay. We need more terrain is what we need.
Yeah, we do. I'm working slowly on that.
Mm-hmm.
One island at a time.
My avatar, I'm using 2 points to command him to command the city to create, what are you creating? No, he's going to have him create the great pyramid. Create the Great Ziggurat of Fillmore.
Commands Fillmore to have the city build a Ziggurat of Fillmore.
Ziggurat of Fillmore. He has to have a place to sit.
It's true. He does have to have a place to sit.
So that's 2 points. So I have 6 left, and I will save those 6 points.
Right. So, what's the difference between commanding the avatar to create a city and commanding the civilization to create a city?
Okay, wait. Let's see. That was the command avatar. Okay.
Well, because you spent the divine power to create an avatar. Mm-hmm. So, in addition, let's say you have enough points to create a city, but you want to build 2 cities.
Mm-hmm.
If you have enough points, you could do both, because you command the avatar to do it.
He's
basically just an extra...
He's an extra you.
So, if you really wanted to, you could have, like... You could spend all your points on avatars, but that'd get kind of ridiculous.
Yes, that would get kind of ridiculous. Alright, so, essentially, basically, I have an avatar in that city. I can command him to do something.
Now, I don't know how we want to do, like, avatars doing stuff on other places, because... Other than combat, it doesn't really...
I am going to... all right, so the other points are if I do it myself, basically, as the great
right.
god of...
Right, the only
evil.
Thing is the avatar can only do one of the immortal actions.
I understand that. Let's see.
It's just...
No.
Okay.
And none of us want to do any more terrain. Actually, I don't mind doing terrain.
Yeah, I'm going to do some here in a moment. I'm going to... So, like, I could command him... Where's that list of command? There we go. Okay. Command city, create order. Command order, create city. Corrupt, purify city, create race, or gather an army. Okay. If I'm reading this right, okay. So, basically, it cost me 2 points to command the avatar.
And really, you could just... We could even make commanding avatars moving them.
I mean, that would be...
Yeah.
And they could just move wherever they wanted for 2 points.
Okay. I will command my avatar... Let's see. Commands avatar... I want them to build a dark magic school, so... in the city. So now I gather that's minus
two.
Just two?
Because that's all they can do.
Yeah.
Do you want me just to draw something on there?
Yes, please. Leaving me with a whole hell of a lot of points. I will then go ahead and... All right, 12, 7. Okay, I will then advance my buzzard and civilization again by spending 10 points. The whole civilization this time. And then I'm going to be creating some land. What am I?
So basically,
I'm giving my civilization... engineering.
Masters of engineering, huh?
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to create 2 inches of...
So actually, let's see.
I'm going to create 2 inches.
So we do have to kind of keep in mind then, basically yours would be a tech level 2 then.
Uh-huh.
Because they can use engineering for war, and they can use death magic for war, obviously.
Right. So this is the second time I've advanced.
Those. Right. So my dudes would only be tech level 1.
My guys are tech level 1, and the Froglocks are tech level zero.
Yeah.
They're primitive.
Where they're tech level 1.
Well, but the Froglocks are not tadpole locks. They're not tadlocks.
The tadlocks.
The tadlocks are a subrace.
They're. I mean, they'll trade with them. Right. But at some point.
We are going to create this side. Our big cracks in the earth. The cliffs.
The cliffs of madness. Oh, wait.
Sorry, the clefts.
The cliffs of madness.
Pressing so hard.
And they look like claw marks in the ocean, in the continent.
With the myth that a great dragon died, and as it in its death throes, it clawed the continent, sharing great rifts in the land.
Claw rifts. I call them the claw rifts. So something scraped along the continent as it sank into the sea.
What it was, no one knows. It sure as hell wasn't the colossus or the
exactly.
Dragon from the
Nathan, it's you. What are you doing?
I'm advancing the civilization of the Froglocks. I am making them masters or experts of sailing. So they sail up and down the rivers and the lakes and the sea and stuff.
Saving yourself 1 point.
Yep. Because there's nothing you can do with 1 point.
Well, I guess I had 9 points before. Okay.
Right.
I figured I better advance them to at least tech
so
level.
So you have 7 points left over, Jeremy.
7. That's fine.
All right. We are at turn 15.
And this time I don't get the +3 because I'm over 5. So
right.
But I have 16 points altogether now.
16 points.
Go, Jeremy.
Nathan, what are you sitting at?
I rolled a 9, so plus the 4 is 13.
9 plus, yeah, 4. Okay, cool. Jeremy, 16 points. What do you do?
All right. Well, first, I create another avatar on a different continent.
Don't you have to have a race for creating an avatar?
Nope. I'm going to create an avatar there. He is a dragon named Argos.
Like the metal god?
I don't know, but his name is Argos, because I like that name. So there's 10 out of the way. And I will then spend 6. Actually, no. I will spend 2 on my Fillmore to...
Where do you create Argos again?
Argos is on this little land. The Jeremy was here.
Where the Jeremy was here mountains are?
Yeah.
All right, and that's 10 points?
Yeah, that's 10. And then I am going to command Fillmore to advance the Tadlocks into architecture.
That's 2 points.
Uh-huh. And then I'm going to... So Argos comes into existence, and I'll burn off 2 points for him to create a race. The one thing he can do, he can only do once.
Does he create the race of dragons?
No, because there can only be only one Argos. No, no, he creates... Let's see.
And how many points does that cost? 2?
2 to command him. So I should have what? 2 left, 4 left. Man, I lost count. 16.
I got it. So 10, 12, 13. You have 2 points left.
He's going to create the race of. I just don't want to do that though. We're gonna stick with normal fantasy races here for now. He's gonna create a race of gnomes.
Working in the under mountain?
Nope.
Hell gnomes? Forest gnomes?
They live in this nice little
cold climate plain.
No, this is good climate.
Oh, good climate.
This is the place where so this little gnomish village. And we're gonna call them the gnomers.
All right.
So and then Fillmore will dance. Because that's what Fillmore does.
It is what Fillmore does.
As they throw stuff in his mouth. His mouth is this out to here.
They play basketball with his mouth.
They're neutral, so they don't they don't actively hunt sentient critters. Actively is the keyword.
Alrighty. I am going to do numerous things as I have 13 points this round. I'm going to be creating 1 inch of land. I'll be creating some climate.
Are you okay?
Yeah. What kind of land do I need to... You created gnomes over there. Good. It's good climate? Okay. Let's go with... We need...
Good climate? Crappy climate!
We need some frost lands.
Well, we need, yeah, that's what I'm actually planning on doing, is, this is, 1 inch. I said how many inches of climate?
You said it's
is
a 1 inch. 1 inch climate.
This is why I write it all down. I'm actually doing 4 inches of climate.
Jeez!
Because we need climate! This bottom 2 inches of this area is going to be,
It's coming off of the big creepy mountain thing there.
This is, like, icy. Icy and cold and dry. It's cold.
cold climate on the south end of that island.
And that was like 2 inches. Uh-huh. So two more inches to go.
Yep. Let's go with...
Boy, the weather patterns on this place are totally screwed up.
This is what happens when gods mess with magic. That's right.
And create stuff. They're like, nature? Bah!
Well, obviously, I'm going to use this and sort of create a big temperate zone here.
So the jungle is a temperate zone?
Yes.
So everything's messed up for, you know, millions of years until the gods, you know, sit back and take a nap, and then when they come back, they're like, what? This isn't the way I left it.
I know.
Nature takes over and puts everything...
Then I'm creating 1 inch of land, shaping the land for 1 inch. And we put the claw rifts in there. Let us put, since... we have these gnomes up here. I'm going to create on the edge of their land here creating the crater. The big crater. That's centuries upon centuries old.
Guys, was that there yesterday? No.
Shut up! And we'll call it the God's Eye. The God's Eye Crater. And then I will use my last...
See, it was 8 points on the climate, 3 points on the land, and then I'm going to command my avatar in with the buzzard people to create the Order of the Black Feather. So he creates a dark order. Nathan, your turn.
I'm gonna spend 2 points to have my avatar create an order called Ordo Nobilis, Order of the Nobles, and the Race of Men.
Creates the Order of what?
Order Nobilis.
There's still no
O-R-D-O-N-O-B-I-L-I-S. And yes, that was a real order at one point in time.
Nobilis.
That takes 2 points, and I have, what, 14?
You have 13, so now you have 11.
So, let's see. Down here in this bottom continent, are both the black pencils broken?
Probably.
We'll have to sharpen them.
Ah, pencil sharpeners. They are for the weak.
Use your teeth, then. I don't
know. Just use a paring knife, says Noah. Hi, Noah!
You'd have to actually point out what a paring knife is. I'm not entirely certain I know what that is.
Yeah, just use whichever knife is handy.
It's okay.
I'm going to 2 inches along the bottom of this continent.
Okay. Are we taking pictures as we go here?
Oh, nope. Wait in a second.
No pictures were taken.
We need to take some more pictures.
So this
and
one will just suddenly
right here
pop up.
Is the Black Sands Desert.
The Black Sands Desert?
The Black Sands Desert. Known for that because it has black sand.
Alright, so we're on the next one.
Alrighty. Okay, so you created the urban, and then you created the Black Sands?
Yep, that was 2 inches of that, so that's 6 points out of 8 points out of 13, so it leaves me with 5.
Yep.
I think I'm going to create 1 more inch of rain. Just as soon as I plug this battery in, charge it. So we can take more pictures later.
Okay. I'm going to create 1 inch of terrain on this island here.
Okay.
And it's going to be... plateaus and stuff like that. You know, kind of like the Painted Desert.
Sure.
So... And it's goes all the
then
way to
saving,
the sea.
Are you saving your 2 points?
Yeah. And it's just, all right. You know.
Next turn.
We'll call it the Pillars of Might.
And I only have 2 saves, so I get the plus 3. So 12, I'm at 15.
I get a mighty 4, 6, 9.
Oh. I have 5, right? Saved?
Yep.
Plus 11, I got 16.
Alrighty, Jeremy, 15 points, what are you doing?
Okay, first of all, I'm spending 2 points to command Argos to have the gnomes build a city. Actually, they're not going to build a city. They're going to advance mining. So they're like, we could... And then I'm spending 10 points on an event, and the God's Eye is filled with some sort of star metal. So basically it's a mine. The event is a mine of crazy
okay.
star metal.
So you have 3 points left.
And then I will command Fillmore, because the Tadlocks have to do so much work. That really bothers him. So he is spending his one time to create a race. To create a slave race. Of snotlings. To serve the Tadlocks.
Little green men.
Oh, they're not green. Well, sometimes. And the snotlings don't need a city because they're just going to live with, you know. So he goes, oh! And all these little snot critters...
Yuck.
Pop up.
Slimelings? Snotlings.
Alrighty.
So that would leave me with 1 point.
Yes, it would.
I have 16.
And Fillmore will dance.
And then, of course, Fillmore dances, yes.
You put it down.
We're very proud that Fillmore is dancing.
Fillmore dance is awesome.
So actually, I'm going to put a mine in here. Even though the whole thing.
I am going to go ahead and be Mr.
Land Creator, shaping land, and do 3 inches of land.
More like land?
Or you're going to make land?
Shape land. Oh, let's see.
Though, really, if you guys want to shape land to create land, that's up to you.
Well, we already did it
once. So.
We did that.
Yeah.
Create the land bridge.
Mm-hmm. It has a giant lake across it. Mountains.
Mountains are blocking in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It is the contained zone.
We have no race in the upper area there.
Nope, not yet.
We're going to have something horrifying.
Yes, probably. Let's see, we got forests. So they created a big... Okay. We're going to create... I'm just going to... Make lots of forests over here. I like it. I like forests. Forests.
And like all the way around the continent? Or along the shore. What's the name of the forest?
Oh, we'll call it Forest of
it surrounds a giant volcano.
We'll call it the Thundering Forest.
Oh, and by the way, the snotlings start at evil.
one down.
Yeah. The gnomes start at good.
One up.
Yeah.
I create the thundering force. That's what
so
I do.
So if you could update that, please.
Gnomes are one good, and the snotlings
okay,
are one
okay,
evil.
Okay, okay, okay.
I forget that you have to choose.
Well, they can be neutral, but
my turn. I'm going to order my avatar to do his once creation of race. He's going to create the race of dwarves living in the mountains.
All right, you're having what now?
I'm ordering my avatar, you know, the 2 points.
What's your avatar's name? The Pantless Wonder?
Are they good or evil?
Huh?
Or neutral?
They are neutral. Race of dwarves in the mountains.
Okay.
All the people look up and they're just kind of stuck at mid-level. They're like, oh, God. Please.
No, he wears
pants.
He wears pants. He actually, you know, he's
for
clothed.
A toga?
Yeah.
Feel more.
I'm trying to think
pants.
Of a name. I'm trying to think of a name for him.
Derek. Or Daryl.
I like Darren. Darren's better.
Darren.
Avatar of
Darren.
The dwarves are neutral. So that's 2 points out of the 16, right?
Yep, got 14 points left, man.
I'm gonna use 10 points to create an avatar for the race of the Froglocks. And
so now there's a giant. What?
There's a giant serpent. There's a river serpent.
Oh, okay.
And its name is Silithus.
Everybody needs an avatar.
And it's I'm gonna have him do an order.
Why
on
do we
him.
Even populate the world with races? We should just populate with avatars.
All right.
I'm
gonna
do order avatar, and he's going to advance the civilization of the Froglocks again to be to increase their skill and merchant. Being merchants. So now they trade with anyone.
Okay. You have 2 points left.
I'm saving those 2 points. And that was turn 15.
Turn 16.
Did we want to continue on past turn 16 and keep creating stuff, or did we want to move to the next stage? Because we said last time at the end that at turn 15 we'd make another decision, another vote.
Well, first let's roll. Because we still...
For turn 17, though?
No, turn 16.
We just finished turn 16.
Oh. We, okay.
Do you guys want to keep moving on, making more terrain? Or
well, the thing is, we don't at this point, we don't have to vote. If one person wants to do it, we can move on.
I'm perfectly fine doing a little bit more terrain work before we move on, but it's, you know, it's whatever you guys want
to
do.
I'm content to keep this world as old as possible, because I think it's hilarious.
Let's go to 20.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, wow, I get
Did I have
shite.
Any points from before?
Jeremy, you saved 1 point from
okay,
before.
Okay, so I do get the plus 3, so.
6.
9, 10, 13.
I have a mighty 6 points this turn.
13 points.
Nathan?
I rolled a 3, plus a 2, plus 3 is 8. I have 8 points.
Sweet.
Yeah, I rolled the same thing you did.
Yeah.
I was like,
Jeremy,
oh.
What are you doing with the 13 mighty points of
okay,
awesome?
Okay, well, first... I'm spending 2 on Argos, and the gnomes are now farmers. In addition,
since
to
they're
farmers.
On that agrarian plane,
yeah,
sweet.
So
they're experts of mining and farming. And the Froglocks come over and go, like with shiny baubles and stuff.
We don't speak your language. Okay, so that was 2, and then I'm going to command Fillmore to. Just because he's a jack smurf, he's going to corrupt the snotlings.
One more evil.
Okay.
Evil.
What was the first thing you did, Jeremy?
Okay, the first thing I did is the gnomes now have advanced to farming. They're the greatest farmers in the world. That doesn't mean anybody, other people can use
it. And that was
stuff.
By Argos?
That was Argos.
They're expert farmers.
So that's 2 points.
Right.
Then 2 points with Fillmore. To corrupt the snotlings.
So they're...
Now evil too.
Evil too.
But it's going to get worse because I'm going to corrupt the whole... And this is the whole civilization. Let's see. So that's... how many points do I have left? That's 2, 4. I have 9?
Yes.
Okay. then I'm going to corrupt them myself.
Right.
Twice.
You can only corrupt once per turn. Only once per target per turn, remember?
Oh, that's because
I tried that.
Yeah, right.
I wanted my Buzzard Men to be damned evil, too.
But I corrupted with my avatar.
Uh-huh. So you could corrupt again.
I will corrupt them once, then.
I would guess. It says only once per target per turn is what it says.
So you can't corrupt the Snotlings anymore.
It's up to you guys, because avatars kind of create a second thing, so I don't care.
Well, if the rules say once per target per turn, I'm going to guess that includes avatars. So...
Fine.
I'd say...
All right, so I get my points back.
Say no.
Yes.
All right. Then I will use my 4 point. Well, I have 9, but I'm going to use 4 of them to purify the gnomes.
As make them even more
good.
Very good.
Uh-huh. And so I have 5 points left. Oh, wait, no. No, that costs 5 points, so I have 4 points left.
Yep.
Command order. Well, we already have an order. I want to command my little shamans in
Through this power, God makes an order do something. For religious orders or sects, add 10 points if a non-creating player commands them. For other orders, add plus 5 points to the cost of non-creating player commands them. But
right.
What do you do with them? That's the big question.
Well,
I'm thinking mortal commands, probably.
Yeah, mortal commands. Well, actually, because I can't create them into an organized order, so I can't really, because that would be create order. So I will go ahead and save my 4 points, actually. Because I don't think there's anything else I can really do other than create some land.
4 points. Two per inch, yes. I'm going to go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just save my 4. And summon a train!
Yay for trains!
My turn?
No, not yet. Sorry. What a rush. I have a mighty 6 points to spend this turn. So, I will... screw it. Shape 2 inches of land.
Alrighty.
Okay. We'll save this. Basically, this area beyond the mountains and between the forest here. Is a barren wasteland.
So it's desert.
Yes, except that there is absolutely no vegetation, not even cactuses here. It's just a wide open wasteland, and they don't know why.
A god sneezed.
Or drew on there with a giant colored pencil.
It's called the waste. Because nothing grows there, there is no water, it's just a big open wasteland of nothing.
My turn?
Yes, now
okay.
It's your turn.
Spending 6 points to churn this 2 inches of area in here, the land bridge that's waste between two mountains, into a tropical jungle. So the whole area is just filled with jungle.
So you create 2 inches of jungle, you said?
Yeah, and I measured it out, so
yeah,
it's the whole.
So you have 2 points left.
Yeah. And I'm going to use those 2 points to... command or order Avatar to have the Froglocks build a city on the river. which is a great port for trade. And we'll call it the city of Croak. They're not creative. They're
city of Croak. So now you have no points.
Yeah, and it'll be right here.
All right, next turn 18.
And so that'd be, so I was under the 5, so we still get 8. Sure.
All right, Jeremy, what do you got?
11. 16.
Nathan, what do you got?
9.
All right, Jeremy, what are you doing with your 16 points?
Okay, well, Fillmore, again, with 2 points, is going to corrupt the civilization of the Snotlings again.
So they're at evil 3?
Yes. Argos is going to command the gnomes to create a city. So now they have city of gnomes. So that was 16, 14, 12.
Yep.
And
that 9 was including my 3 bonus points, by the way.
I'm going to command the city of the Tadlocks twice, actually. The first, they're going to build... How messed up do I want this to be? Well, since the Snotlings are doing so well as slaves, they're going to build a slave market. And we're talking like a ridiculous slave market, so they can
like
sell
the world's
yeah. It's a world bazaar.
8 points, I think.
6. It's command a city.
Yeah.
So now there's slave dealers, and then the other 6, I'm going to command the city because they need to. What else do we have? Command the city to build crap. Well, to help their friends, the Froglocks, who seem to have so much sea-going stuff, I will command them to build, not quite as big as the Ziggurat, but they will build a giant...
Who's building the Ziggurat?
No, not
Tadlock is... the Tadlocks are not building the Ziggurat, they already have a Ziggurat. They're building a giant lighthouse. And they power it with Snotlings. Because,
play.
I mean, they're everywhere! They power them with Snotlings!
How many points is that?
That's the rest of my 6. Because I command them to build that one.
So there's a giant lighthouse here at the at the bay. What's the... Is it just a great lighthouse?
Oh, yeah. It's a great lighthouse of Fillmore. Everything's a Fillmore there.
Called the Great Lighthouse of Fillmore. Okay, Ethan. I just like that. I can just see the Tadlocks up there going, we need more fuel.
I'm kind of waiting for, because right now the Tadlocks are neutral, but with all their slave trade, they're probably
okay.
Going to drop
to
evil.
My own action, I'm going to spend 4 points to corrupt the Buzzard Men to be even more evil, because they need to be, because they're your Snotlings are as evil, that can't happen. So now the Buzzard Men are on evil level 4.
You gotta have more than one evil race.
I then move my avatar, and now to where I'm not entirely sure yet, but that might be 2 points to move him. And then the order of the black feather is going to corrupt the city of the Buzzard Men, so the city is at a minus 5, at evil level 5.
Yeah, so basically the evil goes into an even eviler area.
After the giant pillar of black fire leaves.
You walk...
After the pillar of black fire goes, you guys are fucked up, and leaves.
As you walk towards the city, the sky darkens. It's so evil, the light is just
it's
sucked
Topeka.
Out of the sky.
Yes. It is Topeka, Kansas.
Oh,
Nathan, what are you doing?
Well, I have 9 points, so...
Yeah.
And I'm going to move. So I'm going to move my avatar to the northern part of that continent, over to that near that lake, basically.
Right there.
Yeah, I'm moving him up to there.
Right. So Lethys is going to use his only time that he's going to order, you know, order avatar to create a race. He's going to create a race of feral cat people in this jungle, and they're one towards evil. But they're this is all jungle, and
their heads out.
So you have 7 points left over.
And we'll call them, because I've always liked the name, we'll just use the name Rakasta. So.
You know what this world needs? More horrifying things.
Alrighty then!
And I'm going to order Darren.
Darren, I love
yeah,
that.
Order,
Darren!
The god of Darren.
He just stands up.
He's like, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And everyone just goes.
Most of the other avatars are like, what the hell? Except for Fillmore is like... And then he dances. Like,
the pillar of like, fire just goes...
Darren,
I'm going over here.
What's his name?
End of line!
Guys, your guys, Fillmore?
Fillmore's
like... He's and like, then, ooh, new dance move.
Oh, that's tiring, all that stretching. Feed me.
Darren, I'm going to order Darren to, he's going to advance the civilization of the dwarves, and they're going to become experts in stonecraft.
Okay.
So that's another 2 points, so I have 5 points left, and I'm going to burn 3 points to build a desert, a one-inch desert, along the... door here.
So that's 7 points then,
yeah.
Total. You've got 2 left.
And that's all I can do, because you can only order an avatar once. We'll just call it Land's End.
Well, you can Land's order End. Them, you can, if it's one of the immortal things,
uh-huh.
They can only do that.
Yeah. But like, I don't have anything else right. I want them to do right now, so I'll just save those 2 points.
All right, turn 19. We're going to have to wrap this up turn 20 this time.
Yeah, yeah.
And, no, I'm talking wrap the episode at turn 20.
No, I think that's a great idea.
8.
So I had 0 before, so that's...
Well, our continents are starting to take better shape.
Jeremy, how many points you got?
10.
Nathan, how many points you got?
I rolled a 10, so plus the 3 and the 2, I have 15.
All right, Jeremy, what are you doing with your 10 points?
All right, well, I am going to... Do I want to do that just because it's funny? Or do I want to... Okay, I'm going to do this. Fillmore is going to advance the Snotlings. And now, they are masters of necromancy. Different than death magic. I think of that as more fireballs.
Right. Who is it?
Fillmore is going to teach the Snotling slaves necromancy. Why? Because it's hilarious.
Okay.
Argos is going to advance the gnomes with... you did stone crafting?
Yeah.
They'll do metal...
Metallurgy.
Metal crafting, basically, yeah. For the gnome, so that's 2 more, so that's 6 that I have left. And then I am going to corrupt the Snotlings one more time.
So now they're evil level 4?
Oh god, yes. And I have 2 points, which I will spend on... Do I want to spend on climate? No, I'll save it.
Alright, so corrupting it takes what, 4 points?
Yeah.
So you have 2 points left.
And I will store those in my god pouch.
God bank?
I'm calling it a god
pouch.
Are we
on level 9, or turn 19?
The next one will be 20.
We'll finish
it up, and then we'll be done. With. So if we multiply that by what? What is it, 500 years?
2, 4, 6. Two, four, six, eight, nine. 4 points left.
What'd you do? Probably dropped a rock on our heads. It requires 10 points. Well, that's a cataclysm.
That's only 1 inch.
Yeah.
It's a catastrophe at 1 inch. So, and if you look at the chart, it stays 10 through the whole time because, yeah, you can do it. So you could save up points and be like,
boom, the civilization is destroyed by a catastrophe.
But keep in mind, a civilization is never completely destroyed. They become, like, you know,
fragmented.
Yeah.
I am.
Because it's more fun that way.
Corrupting, I personally corrupt the Buzzard Men again. So they're at evil level 4 normally. Or evil level 5, excuse me, now.
And now they're at evil level 6 in the city.
And I corrupt the city again. So.
Oh, God! That's awesome.
And then I spend 2 points to, you see the forest just north of those mountains right there? Mm-hmm. That one? That entire area is now a frozen forest.
Sweet.
It's the iced forest of Drawl. And then that's where my avatar is gone, and he goes and creates the race of Azers in there. To the dwarves that are on fire.
They're like, oh, it's bloody cold!
No, they're like, what, it's fine.
Yeah, because they're on fire.
We're like, dude, we're good. It's cold! Meh. And the Azers are good.
Well, of course they are.
Nathan, you have 15 points.
And the world gets populated by more. And then we're going to get to the second age, where
yes,
we'll be like...
The column of fire went up there and went, those buzzard dudes are fucked up.
I'm spending 12 points to create 4 inches of planes. And this whole area here, from here all the way up to here, is all planes.
All right.
Bountiful planes.
Is the grasslands.
Yeah, it's the grasslands.
You can make it even more bountiful if you make a good climate.
Add a little bit of green there.
Get a hold of some of the monster apocalypse as our avatars.
Whoa!
That burns 12 points, and so I have 3 points left. And I'm going to burn 2 points of that to have Silithus advance the Froglock's alignment. They're going to purify it, so they're going to be. No, I'm sorry.
Because purifying is 5.
Oh. I wanted to advance the Froglocks.
Okay, well, advancing a civilization is 10. No, you're having him do it. That's 2. Yeah. He can do that. Well, and he can also, actually, he could purify them if he wanted to, too.
Well, I wanted to advance them. I wanted to advance them with tactics. So they're experts in tactics. And they will share these tactics with the Tadlocks.
Save your 1 point that's left over. Okay, we are now on turn 20. Right. So I think this will be our last turn this time.
As our world fills up with multiple races, so I was at 11.
I have 8. Nathan, Jeremy has 11. Nathan, you have...
We'll find out.
11 plus... 11,
15,
12,
again.
15, yes.
All right. Well, I'm spending 10 points on an event.
Oh, an event.
In the Black Sands Desert, there is the Gate of Oblivion. It is a portal to the world of the dead,
And it is open. At least for now.
Alrighty.
What? I love that. It's almost like he's responding. I know.
Ooh, so creepy spirits and undead and all sorts of creepy things. And then I will save my last point because I can't do anything with it.
All right. Well, my avatar creates a city for the Aesir, so that's 2 points for him. I command him to do that. I will then...
Did you put a city on there for the Aesir?
Yeah, right there. Aesir's.
Okay, but did you put an actual city?
Oh, he wants a city?
You just yes.
City.
Okay. There's a city of the Aesir's.
There you go.
And I'll go ahead and I'll use my 8 points to advance the city. Or really, actually, I want to. I want to advance the city and give them writing.
So they're the greatest writers in the world.
And on fire.
And on fire. They have special ink.
Oh, wait. An idiot. I don't have enough points to do that. I was looking at the wrong thing.
How many points are you down?
That's okay. I was looking at the wrong thing. What is... I was looking at command city. Actually, that's what I'm going to do is I'm going to command the city to give it a wonder, basically.
Right.
And it is a... the city of the Aesir's is... It is a wondrous city that... sits amongst the
crystalline trees.
the crystalline ice trees, and they are
like a theme park.
No, the city itself appears to be on fire, but it is in fact not.
So the city is the wonder.
Yes. The city itself is the wonder.
The flaming spires.
Yes.
That's pretty badass.
And that's all my points.
I have 15.
Nathan has 15 points on our last turn before we wrap up.
I have Darren, the avatar, going to order the...
we'll want to do a quick overview of what we did. Or at least what's here now.
Darren is going to order I'm going to order avatar for Darren to have him have the humans build a city along the coast near the river on the Northern Island. And it's going to be the city of Portsmouth. It's a port at the mouth of the river, Portsmouth.
All right, you have 13 points left.
So that they can proceed with trade elsewhere. I'm going to have Solithus. He's going to do an order avatar to advance the race of the Rakastas, and they're going to be the masters of
Solithus.
Solithus, yeah,
snake guy.
Oh,
snake
right.
Solithus. He's gonna make them to be experts espionage. Sneaky.
You know, your guys are getting so evil, Ethan, though. At some point, you should just build a gateway to hell.
Working on it.
And that takes up 4 points, so I have 11 points left. I'm going to spend 9 points to do 3 inches.
Commanding Solithus? That only takes 2.
Well, yeah. Plus 2 from Darren to build the city Portsmouth.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's 4, yeah.
So that's 4.
So
that's
you have 11 points left.
I'm going to spend 9 points to do 3 inches, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to do 3 inches of terrain, which is from here to here.
Into what?
I'm going to do planes. So more planes. So from here...
And that leaves you with a mighty 1 point left.
Yeah.
Which we can't do anything planes. With right now.
All righty.
So all around the Aesir's, there's planes. So the frozen forests have planes around.
It's pretty funny, actually.
Alrighty. Alright, we're going to hit you with a recap here in just a second. Right. Well, we just spent the last just over an hour working on the second part of our cooperative world building for Dawn of Worlds. Nathan's taking some pictures of it right now. What happened during this this phase?
We're still in the first age.
We're in the first age, but I think we all agreed now that we've hit turn 20 that we're going to end the first age at this point.
Right. So
so starting next time, we're going to be in the second age, which is the age of races. Although we kind of jumped the gun on that, yes. I think we have, what, five, six races now?
Well, we have
one, and about?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, and the Tadlocks were a sub-race.
Yes, so the Tadlocks are a sub-race.
So then there's the Snotling Slaves.
The Snotlings are a whole race, yes. Yeah. Okay, so we have a bunch of races wandering about right
and
now.
And two evil
And the Hawkmen are now
races.
The Buzzard Men of Darkwater.
Yeah.
The evil, evil, evil Buzzard Men of Darkwater. They're
evil,
evil level
evil
level 5 with their city of evil level 7.
Oh, you made the Rakasta evil?
Yeah, they're one evil.
Not nearly as evil as the Buzzard Men.
No one's as evil as
there's the
them.
Good race of the Azers, who are like, dude, we just like living in this forest because it's nice and comfy. We go anywhere else and it's hot.
Mm-hmm. The evil race of the Snotlings because of their slavery.
Yep,
and
yep.
They're being used to power the Great Lighthouse.
Yes.
And as a soap. Fillmore really likes soap made out of snotlings.
Alrighty, that's good to know.
And then there's the
you've got two avatars running around.
Yeah.
You've got two avatars running around, mm-hmm. and I've got one. But mine is a giant pillar of black fire, so you know.
It's creepy
don't,
as all
don't
get
forget
out.
There's now a portal to
The pillar of black fire even thinks that the buzzard right. people the buzzard men are creepy. That's why it left. It's like
you guys are scary.
You guys are messed up.
There's
I'm
also
leaving.
A portal to the land of the dead
uh-huh.
that's open.
Uh-huh. And the land is shaping up fairly nice. Although I think we'll need to spend some more points on land next.
What I'm gonna guess is that the areas where we don't actually put in terrain is probably gonna be like grasslands, just
well,
nothing of very well, specific.
If we want to modify something, we still can. Yeah. But if not, it just kind of goes natural. So whatever we think is natural.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm assuming though, with the spirits of the dead slowly crawling out
on that southern continent.
Yeah.
Yes, that southern continent. I think they're going to do something. I'm sure at some point someone's going to have to build a big wall there.
Or
keep them in, yes. And then a wall to keep the race in that there, yes.
We'll create a sub-race to build the wall.
Hey, there you go. But I think it's shaping up rather nicely. We'll obviously have more pictures on the site for this. So check it out. And we will be back right after this with the three-parter.
You paying attention now?
Yes.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone, where we don't know what we're talking
about. Hey, we do know what we're talking about. You know, we called the whole Hugo Weaving Red Skull thing, remember?
Oh, right, fine. Where was it? The Red Phone Zone, where we talk about all kinds of gaggles of...
Aaron, could you cut it with the gaggles thing? It's not working for me.
All right, fine. The Red Phone Zone, where we talk about movies, comics, video games.
Don't forget that we talk about, you know, Bruce Campbell and Christopher Lee, obviously.
Natalie Portman.
All right, guys! I'm trying to do a commercial for the Red Phone Zone, where we talk about movies, comics, video games, tabletop gamings, all kinds of other geek stuff.
You mean that show we broadcast on Ustream?
Yes!
Wednesday, 8 Central Standard Time.
Right, at redphonezone.com. Now, can you guys just give me a minute to get this promo done?
Sure, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
All right, from the top. Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone.
Aaron, we need a tiebreaker. Okay, who would win in a fight with Galactus?
Anti-Monitor.
Galactus and Anti-Monitor. Come on.
I think the more important question would be who would win in a fight between me and you two idiots.
I guess we don't know what we're talking about. And
we are back, and today on our three-parter, both Jeremy and I have some reviews to go over, and Nathan is going to talk about a little bit what we're up to in about the first annual Gamers Haven Halloween party. We're going to kick things off with my review.
The review.
I managed to return from Gen Con with a copy of Adamant Entertainment's Icons. Icons is a superhero role-playing game powered by the Fate system from Adamant Publishing. It's written by Steve Kenson, Gareth Michael Skarka, Walt Chienkowski, excuse me, and Morgan Davey. It's preeminently designed by Steve Kenson, who you'll recognize as the creator of Mutants and Masterminds. Now, those people who have listened to the show know that I am not a big fan of the Fate system, so
really?
I mainly am looking at this. Yes, really not. So, you know, I'm really trying to take myself back and look at it as a bit more of a source book and sort of people who are a fan of the Fate system. What Icons the best thing to put it is what Icons isn't is Mutants and Masterminds. If Mutants and Masterminds is a bit too complicated for you, or is a bit too intimidating, Icons is probably something you'd want to look into. Steve Kenson is a great game designer and has a great time dealing with mechanics, and he actually does a very good job of sort of putting a leash on the Fate system and making it do what he wants. The system still has within it the aspects and the tagging aspects where I think is where a lot of the chaotic nature of the Fate system sort of stems from. So that's still there, which would be my big drawback in not wanting to run it or play in it. So I'm going to try to take a look at this a little bit somewhat source material and somewhat from an eye for people who are you know, like the Fate system. If you set all that, the Fate system stuff aside, the game is very reminiscent of the old Marvel Superheroes role-playing game from the 80s. There is a complete random nature. You can have a complete random nature of building characters in that you roll entirely roll dice for the stats. You roll dice for what powers they end up with. You roll dice for what level that those powers are at, the number of powers, the power type, alteration, that sort of thing. The game does not really have a detailed character creation system like the Spirit of the Century does, where you have that you sit around and basically build a character in a group. It is much more self-contained, which is kind of an odd way to go, in my opinion, in a comic book. But again, it'd be really easy just to use that character creation system from Spirit of the Century in this. It is an entertaining game. It's very lighthearted, very much designed in the nature of sort of four color Silver Age. Maybe even you could do a real good sort of tick of the tick style game with this. The game uses a mechanic called determination, where it's like a pool of points basically that people can grab from. Essentially, by using determination, you can use it to boost rolls, to do all the stuff that basically you do with hero points. Determination pools renew at the start of each quote unquote issue. Essentially, what you do with determination, let me find the exact description sort of to give you an idea. Determination, you basically start off with a level 6 in determination and you subtract the number of powers that your character has. And so the more powers your character has, the less determination they have. Now, what determination helps you with as you're playing the game, basically, is essentially... here we go. essentially you can influence the outcome of tests and conflicts using determination. It's, so it's like the hero point mechanic, basically, except it's modified, obviously, for the fate system a little bit. You use determination basically to, like, as a... The best way to put it is basically you earn determination by having your aspects tagged or tagging aspects of the things, by having an interesting, basically an interesting character. So really, here the hero point mechanic type of thing. Very lighthearted type of game. The art in it is kind of corny, but it really goes with the theme of the book. The theme of the it's really generic setting, very. Sort of really almost a tongue-in-cheek type of a game, but it really sort of reminisces back to that Marvel Superheroes game. There is a team creation section where you sort of sit around with all your players and create a team before the game starts, and you figure out your team resources, your qualities, that sort of thing, and then there's team also develop a team pool of determination points. So your individual characters have determination, but so does your team that you could call on for various reasons and various needs. The powers in the game are very very generic. Let's first talk real quick. Specialties are your skills. Essentially, the mechanic of the game is you have an ability rating, and the abilities in the game are really very reminiscent of the Marvel game. I keep saying that, but it's prowess, coordination, strength, intellect, awareness, and willpower, and you use those to figure out what you want to roll. And basically, it's a combination of you roll 2d6, add your modifier, add whatever other skills you might have, and then that determines if you pass the difficulty. I like that it takes you away from needing to go out and buy fudge dice to play, like Spirit of the Century was. You needed fudge dice to play the game. This just basically alters it to that you just need regular 2d6 to play the game.
Well, thank heavens.
Which helps out quite a bit. When you are determining developing your character, it encourages you to develop your character in a random fashion. And so, like, you roll up your origin, you roll up your what powers you get, and then you develop your concept after that. So it's an interesting way. It's really, I think, geared towards much more of a lighthearted type of game where you're not planning a huge campaign or it's hey, let's see what we end up with type of business. The nice thing about it, I would have to say, is the powers in it are fairly broad. It doesn't get into very deep details on various things, but you have different types of powers, from like control powers and alteration powers and the like, and those can basically determine what your character can do. But again, it being the fate system, it's very 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 limited. You can really tell where Kenson sort of drew on his Mutants and Masterminds experience while he was doing this book, and sort of took it down several notches to the point where it's like, well, this could technically even be a primer for Mutants and Masterminds. If you like this enough, go on M&M. It has an interesting method of doing things as far as doing actions in the game, of like combat and actually doing things. It basically assumes that in comic books, it really takes to heart that superheroes are reactive and supervillains are proactive. And so usually what it says is, unless circumstances state otherwise, heroes are reacting to things rather than acting. So the villain basically gets to go first, and then the heroes respond and do their action. And they, of course, can basically figure out what they want to do past that. It's an abstract type of game, so it doesn't require that you have a map or anything like that. You basically during a turn you can do an action, and an action can be I move closer, so you go from an extended distance to a close distance, or close to personal, or I go back from extended to visual, to etc. Basically your abilities determine what you use for, like willpower is what you use for intimidation. Intellect helps you with languages, and you know, strength is what you use for blocking and evading and bending, breaking things, etc. Overall, it is not a bad book. I think I would look more at it as a PDF rather than an actual hard copy, as the hard copy is. The hard copy is a 129 or 130 page book, and it's $30, which is pretty darn expensive, and it's not even a full size book. It is a nice looking book, but me being such a big fan of Mutants and Masterminds, I'm not likely to run a version of this game at any point. However, I do see some use for like some adventures and whatnot. It's always good for. Always good for some sort of inspiration for other sessions and type of thing. So overall, I think this is a very simple superhero game. I think it's definitely for people who are not interested in the crunchy mechanics that Mutants and Masterminds can have. Character creation is really fast, really simple. It's something I would recommend for early players, but I would not, and even for players who are sort of bored with super crunchy systems like Champions or even to an extent Mutants and Masterminds. But I don't think it's meant to fill the niche that Mutants and Masterminds is in, so I think it fills its little zone rather well in what it's trying to do is sort of that cheesy, even to an extent, the Silver Age style of books, so it's, you know, a little silly here and there. So overall, not a bad book. It is not one I would use. I wouldn't replace Mutants and Masterminds with it, but I think it's maybe a good primer for it. So that is my lovely review of Icons.
The review.
Hello, I am reviewing the Pathfinder Tales Prince of Wolves by Dave Gross. This was a book that was obviously given to us to review, and it was a very easy read. I don't know much about the Pathfinder Tales themselves, but you really didn't need to know that much to jump in with the characters. The characters are a half-elven, basically Pathfinder, and those of you who play the Pathfinder game, I'm assuming the Pathfinder group is a adventuring group that protects knowledge, finds knowledge, so on. But the one character, like I said, is an half-elven pathfinder. He's very educated. He's a count. You find out some interesting things about his study of magic. His partner and or bodyguard is a fiendish half-human, half some sort of fiend. He's not sure if it's a devil or a demon. But in this particular Pathfinder tale, they are searching for a missing Pathfinder. And they run into wolves. Actually, they run into a whole pack of wolves.
Hence the name of the book.
Right. They run into undead. There's a... Oh, what's the vampires where their heads come off?
Vargules or something like that? Vargiles?
I don't think that's specific, but basically... tons of different monsters, but presented in such a way that while yes, they may be normal on this world, they're still horrifying. As I said, it was a quick read. I don't know, 3-4 days for me. Very easy to jump into. It's written both from a... It's written in a journal style when it's following the half-elven character, and then it's written from the point of view of the fiendish half-human fiendish bodyguard. So it goes back and forth. It's interesting how they do it. The characters are fairly believable for such a book. I don't always expect that from just a fantasy book. I do like how in the back there's a glossary of terms, so if you don't know much about role-playing, you can still look at this glossary of terms and kind of understand the Pathfinder world itself. It's priced at $9.99, so about $10. I wouldn't spend $10 on it.
That's just common pricing for books nowadays.
Yeah, that's really lame.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is, I hadn't bought a paperback in a long time, and I went out and looked at it. I was like, holy crap, it's $10. What the?
Yeah.
Screw you people.
Which is why I don't buy books until I get the 40% coupon from Borders, because I can't justify...
At the half-price bookstore, for Christ's
sake. Or at the half-off bookstore. So,
sometimes it's easy to find, though.
Would I pay $10? No. But is it a fun book? Yes, it is. I would actually be interested in reading more of these. It does introduce me to the Pathfinder world for things, maybe not to play in the Pathfinder world, but to read more about it. I do like how the Elven land, it seems, and those of you who are Pathfinder, who play Pathfinder way more often than I can correct me, but from the book it sounds like the Elven land now worships Asmodeus as the Prince of Law. Well, the rest of the world considers him the Prince of Lies, which I find pretty interesting. So if you like just a good, quick read, something that you will learn about the characters, they're pretty easy to follow, some quick fights, you will notice that the characters are not invincible. They do get hurt. One of them, the bodyguard, gets hurt quite a bit.
why am I not surprised?
But I would recommend checking it out. If you can stomach the $10, which if that's the common price, well then I guess it's worth it. Definitely, though, at a half-off bookstore, if you're, a penny pincher, or even a PDF. I don't know if they sell them in PDFs.
Not PDF, but you might be able to get an ebook version of it.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's Paizo. Paizo's really good about electronic.
Yeah. And it is Paizo. And I gotta say, though,
And they're really good about it.
What's the name of the book again?
It's Prince of Wolves.
Prince of Wolves.
From Pathfinder. Who's the author? David Gross? Dave Gross.
I would read more of these. I would like to see...
It's the only one out. It's the first
one.
Right, but I would read more of them.
Well, actually, there's another book called Winter Pat, or Winter Witch.
But I don't know if it has the same characters as the thing.
Yeah. It wasn't out at Gen Con. I think it's just coming out.
Yeah. So well, it says it came out... it's not out yet. It comes out December 7th.
Yeah.
So if you want a taste... If you want a taste of Pathfinder without actually playing the game or buying any of the books, check this out. It's a neat world. I liked what I read.
Yeah, it's not available in an
e-book
format as of yet.
Being an avid reader of Ravenloft and such, some of the things are very...
I would
very...
bet they're working on it, though. Paizo's really good about that.
But I did notice some things were from, obviously, other worlds. Like, you can tell there's an influence from Ravenloft. There's an influence from... But the thing is, it's still a decent book. So that, again, is Pathfinder Tales, Prince of Wolves by Dave Gross, excuse me. By Paizo.
Cool.
What we're into.
Well, I'm here to actually talk about the Gamers Haven first annual Halloween party. So far, we haven't had a lot of people RSVP. Mm-hmm. I do know that Becca sent
up... It is only October 1st, but by the time this gets out here, it will be a lot closer.
Yeah, I'm hoping that by the time this actually comes out, we'll have more people RSVP. We have a lot of people coming whom... we have the normal people who come to our Halloween party every year. They're going to be here, and then there's it's open to RSVPing by Gamers Haven members.
I'm already saying my costume kicks ass.
Yeah, I wanted to do a steampunk mad scientist, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to get all the parts together I need to do so. One of the cool things I will say, anybody who knows my family, who's met my brother will be here. He said he's gonna do his best to make it here. He's coming up that day anyways to spend some time up here, and he wants to come, and he wants to play in the Realms of Cthulhu game,
great,
which is what I'm running for the game this year.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a Dread game running.
Yes.
I think we only have room for, what, two?
We have... In the computer room,
uh-huh.
We'll hopefully have a table set up so that we can have board games running.
Right.
In the back room, the
Warhammer
room. It's right now. It's open. It's such a large table. It's a 4 foot by 4 foot by 8 foot.
Big regulation.
So yeah, it's regulation. It's
8 feet.
Yeah. It's
a little bigger
yeah.
inside, I think.
4 foot 1 inch by 8 foot and 1 inch. It's 1 inch larger. But it's tournament size, and so it's currently open. I haven't had anybody ask to play any Warhammer, so what we may do with that is we may actually break that actual table up into two separate spots for people to play board games at, as mm-hmm. we found with playing Last Night on Earth. It's a great amount of space to play a board game on.
That table's probably good for Arkham Horror.
That table is perfect for Arkham Horror. You won't run out of space.
I know. It's about the only table that I know of that you could play Arkham Horror on
without running out of space. Yeah. One thing I will say was we've
could
had
play just the game out on this table
barely,
but if you put the expansions on it, you would.
Yeah, know. The table ends up being overrun. We have one other game that's already being set up, and I was looking at my email to open it up because I've been conversing
we've
with
got
the
your
young lady.
Realms of Cthulhu.
Yep, and we have from Angela Robertson. She is planning on running a Dread game.
Uh-huh.
She likes to reserve. She would like to reserve one game room, so we'll need. The Realms of Cthulhu is going on in the basement, and there's going to be enough space. If you've gone and looked at the basement, I've cleaned it up, so there's a wide open space. We'll segment it off into two sections, so there'll be two tables downstairs.
I think I'm going to try to run Outbreak Undead.
Outbreak Undead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So.
And we'll have the table in here, in the kitchen, or in the living room area, if everything goes haywire. Or there'll be space in the back room. There's going to be space for two tables in the basement, one in the back room for either board games or whatnot. Then there'll be board games in the computer room on probably the card table, so it'll be for smaller board games. So far, like I said, I've only had two people contact me about RSVPing, and it is basically a first-come, first-served basis. We may have to restrict
mm-hmm.
the number of guests that come with people who RSVP due
right.
to the fact that we
and
don't
we
have
are,
a lot of space.
We are having contests, a
yes.
costume contest.
We're doing a costume contest and your best Halloween treats contest.
Mm-hmm.
The Halloween treats will be broken in. There's going to be, I believe, four separate... places. There's going to be best.
Do let me know how many prizes you need. We do have have some prizes left
okay.
over.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. We'll need one for the best. There'll be first, second, and third place for costumes.
Okay.
So we'll need three prizes for that.
Okay.
And then there's going to be on the food items. There's only going to be one place for each one. There's four categories. There's going to be
okay, so you need seven prizes.
Yeah.
Basically.
We have best tasting, and then we have best role players for the actual games. We're going to do that too.
Because
okay. we thought that would be a good idea.
So if we have three RPGs running...
So far. So 10 prizes.
Okay.
We
should be able to handle that.
Yeah, the four categories we have so far, and I think it's going to stick to four categories, but we're finalizing which categories are going to be. There's going to be most thematic, or best thematic, which means the one that's most like, oh, this is definitely a Halloween treat. Then there's going to be best tasting, the one that you like the best out of all the ones that you eat. So that one's pretty much going to be... it's going to be personal opinion. Most thematic is going to be pretty simple. I mean, everyone's going to look at something and they go, "Yeah, that's Halloween." And that's just the way it's going to happen. I think we're going to do I'm Becca's still waffling on it, but I wanted to do most disturbing because it's a Halloween treat. There are some creepy, disturbing, messed up Halloween treats
yes,
out
yes,
there.
Yes, there are.
And
go to instructables.com because that place there was a pot. Of baby arms. There was finger food that was actually like finger looking. Some of it was just total. There was the baby that you could eat their guts.
Oh, goody.
Yeah.
And there's one more, which I can't remember right off the top of my head. It's my brain's not working right now. There will be four separate categories. And Right now it's sitting, I've got three pretty much fleshed out, most thematic, best tasting. Oh yeah, best presentation was the fourth one. So the one that looks, it may not be the most thematic, it might not be the best tasting, but it's the one that the presentation of it looks at, you go, well, that's really well laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's presented extremely well. It's like, you know, a Cthulhu cake that, you know, is looks like the, you know, the statue of Cthulhu where that's squatting on the pillar, or on the strange seven-sided pillar thing with, you know, with his fingers dangling. It may taste like crap, and it's definitely not Halloween thematic, really, because Halloween, you know, is more like, you know, ghosts and goblins and stuff like that, not Cthulhu. But presentation-wise, you look at it and you go, wow, that could be a piece of art sitting on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
You could also go, wow, that's really disturbing, because, well, it's Cthulhu. But those are the four categories I can think of off the top of my head, and they may change. As we get more information, we will send more information out to everybody. And
if you visit the forums at gamershavenpodcast.com/forum, there is an upcoming event section in the Social Club forum that, you know, we'll try to put some information on there as we go.
Yeah.
I basically reposted the email you guys sent out about it, and there's a contact link that will send you to an email form that will send
an email
to you.
So. I don't know if it was stated in the email because I didn't look at the email. Becca wrote it because I have no communication skills when it comes to that. Costumes are not required.
Right.
They're optional.
It is in there.
You don't have to dress up, so you don't have to freak out and go, oh, God, no.
Family
just come
friendly.
As you are. Yeah. Please, PG, I prefer to even stay away from PG-13 because I don't know who all we're going to be having coming here. And I really don't want to offend anybody. We had a costume last year. I don't know if you remember it.
I remember it, yes.
That was not PG.
Yeah, that's the... No.
It crotchless?
I'll talk to you about it after we finish talking.
Was it covered in Smurfs?
No. I'll talk to you about it in a little bit. But it's open to any Gamers Haven member. I mean, if Tracy wanted to drive in
But you have to RSVP.
Yes, you have to RSVP because... we've got enough space probably to fit, including the game rooms, we probably have enough space to fit maybe 35 people in this house at one point in time. Anything more than that, and there's just no space at all anywhere.
Yeah.
So,
and essentially what we're doing with this is a bit of a test run. If this is something that goes well, if people like this, it is something we're gonna be doing for other holidays, including Halloween, probably April Fool's, that sort of thing. And I'm gonna be talking to Phil over at Tabletop about commandeering his
game room
for an evening for it.
Which
we'd have plenty of space at that point. So
yeah, it could turn into something like a not like CantCon in the fact that there's tons of games to run, but more like a social.
Yeah.
Where people can get together and converse about games.
It's a one night thing, for right now. But we're looking at adding more events throughout the year.
Yeah.
This
is a test run.
Yeah.
So if you guys think this might be interesting,
and
come out and show your support.
And we will be begging you for money as well if you show up. There will be a donation jar, and obviously we need to start funding for
CantCon 2011.
So. Which the CantCon site still isn't back up yet. I just haven't had time to fix it. So, but it will be up at some juncture. There we go. That's the Halloween party. Sweet.
Yes, so
sounds
far.
Awesome to me. Sounds awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, Carol, now you take these notes, and then we're about ready to begin.
Oh, okay, sure.
Well, what are you two doing here? We don't record until tomorrow.
We're making a new promo for All Games Considered, since you were dragging your feet getting one written.
Hey!
She's right, though. It's been too long, and a lot has happened since the last promo.
Yeah, like winning the Gold Emmy for Best Gaming Podcast for 2009.
You mean the one you try to work into the conversation every other episode?
Hey!
Now, there's more than that. There's the new format.
You mean the main show every 2 weeks and the assortment of other features in the meantime?
Right, like games you may never have heard of, the review and news shows.
Don't forget the RPG buffet.
And on the main show, we have more time to focus on gaming topics.
Like board and card games.
And RPGs.
And the people who play them, from the old school to the newest of the new.
But no changeling. Hey!
Find out more at agcpodcast.info. All games considered, because there's more than one true way to play. Thank you.
encounters.
Alrighty.
Why are we waiting? He told us to wait.
Waiting? No, I'm not waiting. We're going.
Or not. Go. Go.
We are back with Random Encounters, and if Noah was able to get us a Munchies for Munchkins, you would have just heard it just now, and just be coming off of hearing about yummy, yummy food. So, at this point, we're going to talk to you about some Random Encounters. I got an email from, just sort of an announcement email from Chris Diaz from Deus Ex Machina Games, the guys who gave us Amethyst. They are working on Amethyst Factions, the second book. It's due out, I believe he says, this December, although I don't really see the official date in the email he sent me. But they're also working on a new book called, Espionage, Counterterrorism, and Cyberpunk. It is it's called Core 4. And it is a revision of basically a modern 4E modern book, or Ultra Modern 4 is the name of the book. A universal modern science fiction supplement for fourth edition. So
that's cool. That sounds
kind
interesting.
Of a kind of cool idea. And if it's it's going to be, it's done by the guys who did Amethyst. So I mean, it's going to look real nice, I think. So I wanted to just mention that. We got an email from Ron Gus Gustafson, who sent me an email, said, greetings from the cultural backwater that is Utah. Hey man, I was born in Utah, so I know how much of a cultural backwater it is. Enjoy your podcast and respect anyone keeping old school, i.e. real, gaming alive and well. I was wondering what your favorite RPG system was. I personally prefer Savage Worlds, with Sundered Skies being one of my favorite games of all time. I was curious about your opinion of the RPG industry as a whole. Would you say it's stable, dying, or thriving? Why do you think so? If you ever find yourself beyond the Zion Curtain, I like that, Zion Curtain, nice, are in the mood for a game, drop me a line. I'm currently running Deadlands and Dungeons and Savages campaign. Dungeons and Savages campaign.
Deadlands, because you can't go outside to get the same experience.
Yes, exactly. But with Savage Worlds, can do whatever you know takes your fancy. Stay savage from Gus. Well, to answer the first question, let's see. What's our favorite RPG system? My cop-out answer is it depends. It sort of depends on what mood I'm in. If you ask me right now, I'd probably say Mutants and Masterminds is my personal favorite, just because I'm in a superhero mood, although Feng Shui is an absolutely fantastic one. As far as like generic systems, I think the best one I've seen out there is Savage Worlds, because it's so adaptable to pretty much anything you need. Jeremy, you have a favorite RPG system?
Well...
All right, Jeremy says Palladium. Nathan, what
hey,
is...
Hey, I'm trying to talk right here.
Now, right now, I would probably say... jazz.
Right now, I would probably say Savage Worlds is my favorite system because of its modability.
Mm-hmm.
Rules-wise, entertainment-wise, of all the systems I've played so far, my favorite system entertainment-wise is still Mutants and Mastermind. But I love the customizability of the Savage World system, and I love the excitement of, you know, punching a guy through 35 walls.
Yeah, that's
you
fun.
Know, in a combat.
Hey, a guy with a bus.
Hell yeah.
Well, yeah.
Jeremy, have you rethought your Palladium
well,
statement?
Well, like I was saying, not Palladium. It would be either...
So, Palladium.
Yeah. Ethan's going to have to die now. No, I was saying either Savage Worlds, or I really, really liked... The Dragon Age system that they were using. That was neat. And then probably number three would be fourth edition, just because, well, yeah. But Savage Worlds is way up there. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Obviously Mutants and Masterminds.
His next question was, what is our opinion about the RPG industry as a whole? Would you say it's stable, dying, or thriving? Why do you think so? This is a question...
this is a loaded gun question.
Well, this is a question that people get asked a lot, and I think some people would say... Some people have said that the RPG industry has been dying for the last 20 years.
I don't think it's dying.
I'm a firm believer that I don't think it's dying. I think it's evolving.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to ever die. I think it's just going to evolve, or in Kansas, intelligently design itself into a different... Basically being different. I mean, in the last...
10 years, we've seen electronic books take off.
Flying Spaghetti Monster itself into a new form.
Exactly. And we've seen electronic books and PDFs sort of take off. And I think that's a new format, but it hasn't replaced.
It hasn't replaced. Print publishing. And we have to keep in mind, with how technology is advancing, there's nothing wrong with video games.
No. But I don't see video games as a replacement for pen and paper.
It's not a replacement, but what I would hope, if it started down that road where video games were so much that mm-hmm. RPGs were going to die, that you would have the individuals from the RPGs, you know, dice rolling, books, you know, all mm-hmm. that, jump into the video games 100% and basically create those stories that they can create in what they're doing now. You know, that's the one thing with video games. You just don't have enough substance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think ultimately, it comes down to video games fill one little niche.
Right.
And I think RPGs fill a different one. I think people who are attracted to one aren't necessarily attracted to the other. And so I don't think video games are taking away from it.
Right.
Taking away from people
but
who play
tabletop
RPGs.
I do think, though, that if the RPG world still has to follow along the world of technology.
Yeah.
Wizards,
they can't stop putting out electronic products.
No. Wizards tried to do something with their, you know, their electronics thing that never went anywhere. That's a bad thing to by
their
stopping
digital tabletop
it.
Thing that they never gave
but
it.
But things, like, things like
they said, oh well, guess we got crap.
What's the big one that puts out, like, the Savage Worlds, the 4E compendium stuff, the Mutants and Masterminds? What's that program? Hero Lab. Hero Lab's a great example.
Yeah, it doesn't replace the gaming table, it enhances it.
And I can see with our digital.
I'm waiting
age
for them to make an iPad version of that.
Well, I mean, yeah, the iPad, horrible name. But the iPad's a great example of a piece of technology that'd be great for RPGs.
Yeah, tablets would be great for RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
They just need
Kindles,
to be, you know, affordable.
That type of thing.
Like,
you know,
the Samsung Galaxy Tab. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be subsidized by your phone providers. You buy it on top of your phone plan. And it's going to be $200 for a tablet that's the equivalent, except for the screen, to an iPad. It's got a 7-inch screen versus a 10-inch.
Nice.
Yeah.
But I think all of this just can help the RPGs and the whole industry.
And it runs on Android. As
long as they don't just say, well, we're not going to do anything with technology. They need to make sure that they're integrating it.
Yeah.
Because at some point we're going to have...
Yeah, and I think ultimately, as far as stable, dying, or thriving,
I'd say it's fairly stable.
I think right now it's fairly stable. I think it's more stable than it has been.
Yeah.
Like when the D20 market fell out, I think it was in sort of the death throes a
but
little
there
bit.
Is
but
still
yeah.
a D20
I don't think it's
market.
Ever going to die.
Yeah.
I think it's hurting maybe, but it's just evolving.
The problem during the D20 days when the market fell out was because it was oversaturation of a product that basically stagnated.
Well,
the thing
at
is
that point, the industry thought that everyone was going D20, and consumers like you and me went, well, this works for D&D, but it doesn't work for
anything
this,
else.
You know?
Which is why, and as an overall, the RPG industry is currently stable. But if you look at the diversity, it's thriving, because with the release of Fourth Ed, there was a lot of dissent. If you look around the different groups, a lot of people had complaints. This group didn't like this. This group didn't like that. And so what you had was, whereas before you had 3.5 was at the time was a very good system,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, wow, this works great for this, and everybody's like, we can work with this. And a lot of people didn't feel the same way about 4th Ed, and so they went, well, we're going to go off and make our own systems. And you have more different systems now
mm-hmm.
than you had during the 3.5 time,
mm-hmm.
because more people feel that, you know, there needs to be more diversity. So it's thriving in diversity, but as an industry, it's pretty stable for right now. There's no guarantee that it's going to stay that way, because
mm-hmm.
as we saw with the end of the 3.5 era, where everything basically just started to collapse like a deck of cards.
All the bad ones imploded.
Keep in mind, though, what does it mean by... I mean, is he talking about the company specifically?
I think
we're just talking about the industry.
Because, the industry, companies could die.
Companies die really, all the time.
Wizards
I think, could die,
but the books are there. The role-playing games are still going to be there. There's always going to be a market for something physical, something there, as long as they don't limit themselves and as long as they adopt. They don't want to be afraid of the technology. They need to accept that it's there and see how can it improve gaming.
Mm-hmm. I also, so that's that. Thanks for the email, Gus. I also got an email from Ben Gerber from the Troll in the Corner guys. Ben Gerber's a great guy. Wanted me to mention a contest that they're holding between basically from October 4th to October 11th. They are holding a contest. So we'll have that posted on the website, but basically during that time period, they're going to be giving away some stuff. So keep your eyes. Anyone who is currently listening to the live stream should check our website regularly for that. Got an email from Jason Folger. He asked us a question about Search for the Silver Santas. Said, I was just wondering where I could purchase or download, if legal, this campaign. I was listening to it after I found it on iTunes, and I have to say it was very entertaining. Do you know... with the whole exploding snowmen and all. I directed him to talk to the GM, which would be some schmuck named Jeremy. Jeremy, there you go.
I already emailed him back.
Okay, because I forwarded that on.
The main thing is there are notes somewhere. As we all know, campaigns kind of find a corner and hang out and expand. Yes. At some point in the future,
I managed to collect all of my notes for the Deadlands game together, and it's about 2-3 inches thick.
I do at some point, and it won't be this year, but I do, because way too many projects.
Yeah.
But I do at some point want to do a Search for the Silver Santas PDF and either offer it for free or for a very small price our site. So...
We will have some PDF stuff coming out. I'm working on some supplements to start off with the superhero for Superpowered.
If everything goes up, it's going to
start off with an Icons edition of it, because I can put that out immediately, whereas the Mutants and Masterminds version has to wait till January 1st.
Right.
So,
but, I mean, we do want to do this type of thing, and I think... In the coming few years,
I am toying around with the idea, if people are interested, for the Deadlands Enough Room to Die, of releasing sort of a collection of it, of all of the recorded episodes onto a DVD or something like that, and also having game material, that sort of thing. But that's going to take some time to look at and put together. So,
but we'll just think if people just keep looking, at some point there will be either Gamer Haven and or affiliated stuff coming out. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I do at some point in time want to, if possible, I would like to do, like a couple of the Halloween-based Call of Cthulhu games that I've run as modules that you can...
We would have to contact Chaosium to actually... They do license Call of Cthulhu, but you have to actually ask them about it.
Yeah.
That it's not an open license, in other words. But, yeah, I'm sure we can figure something out. We'll see. I think a worst-case scenario is just you wouldn't be able to put stats in it and whatnot. We have a lot going on. I think that's
actually
it.
Want to finish with school first.
Yeah, exactly. That's it for our random encounters tonight. I want to thank everyone for listening and soldiering through this long episode of The Gamer's Haven. As always, please go over to our website, gamershavenpodcast.com, comment on episodes, register on the site, go to the forums, drop us a line in there, call our voicemail line, 877-416-1270. If you think this show is worth a dollar, please go to our website and hit the donate button and send some support our way to throw in the CantCon coffers. So... thanks, everyone, and good night.
Munchies for Munchkins. Hey guys, it's Chef Gibbs with Munchies for Munchkins. Today we're going to be looking at festivals and how you can incorporate them into your games. One of the first things I want to point out is if you're going to do a festival, decorate for it. Decide what kind of a festival it is. Is it a harvest festival? Is it a winter festival? Is it a celebration of, the local deity's birth, death? Is it decide what kind of it is, and go ahead and decorate your game room for it. It brings a lot of great atmosphere. Decoration is always, and props are always great things. As when it comes to the food for festivals, you get a couple different things. If it's a large festival like a fair, you're going to have different smaller vendors handing out things. And you can do that yourself in your own home with, coming up with a couple little fun things and handing them out to your players. You can also, be looking at buffet or past things. If you're looking at like a grand ballroom that has, massive amounts of people in it, you're going to have servants passing around the food and, maybe slicing some things to order, passing out vegetables, maybe, anything of that sort. So, there's one option. Or you can go the other more intimate route. What if it's your players are in the home of the mayor of a small town and they've been invited to celebrate? Well, the mayor's probably going to carve the food himself. He's going to be there to take care of his guests. And it's always, I always come back to that sense of hospitality, which, was very pervasive throughout a lot of cultures, if you're looking at, that kind of thing. And the other option is, you were talking about you had servers passing things. Well, another option is if they're sitting around a table, then you've got, like your own family Thanksgiving, where you've got a lot of dishes that are just being passed around the table. And, go ahead, do a Thanksgiving, a harvest festival kind of thing, sitting in your own home, and do that. It's a lot of fun. Something else to keep in mind is it a religious ceremony? Do you want to come up with a real fast, really simple, religious prayer that they say for their deity to whatever, depending on what kind of a game it is, before they eat? Are there customs that your players need to be made aware of? This can also be an interesting role-playing point of, did they insult this town during one of their biggest festivals or ceremonies of the year? That can cause some great tension in it. As always, have fun with it, do what feels good, and I'll talk to you guys later. I know this was a short segment, but unfortunately I have a cold, if you can't tell. But we'll be back next time. Tracy will be with me, and we will be covering superhero food. So look forward to that. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
That's not canon.